it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, that's me, here on the south side of town, down here representing in Rutherford County. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe back or over on the west side holding down the fort in Bellevue. Marquise Munson at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Let's bring in Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. We were big fans of the show, the HBO documentary, The Scheme. Dan, his presence was felt in this. We watched it. In fact, I've seen it a couple times now. Of course, the story of the big college basketball scandal. They had the FBI involved and Christian Dawkins, and something I feel like we've been talking about forever, but yet really still don't have any closure on, for the most part. Dan, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
No, we're doing fantastic. You know, we went through kind of the layers of this just because you were in it and you had a chance to now sit back and watch it. Let's just start with your thoughts. What did you think of how HBO did the documentary, the two-hour documentary?
Well, I think I thought it was good. I think Christian Dawkins can, you know, carry a show. He's certainly a great character, and that's what you need in these in documentaries. My thing is, it's the Christian Dawkins story.
That's right.
it is a lot of Christian Dawkins, right?
Yeah.
And I covered the story. I covered Christian Dawkins. I got to meet Christian Dawkins. No Christian Dawkins. But there were 10 guys that got arrested. There's prosecutors. There's coaches that were involved. There's defense attorneys. I mean, there's a lot of characters in the entire story. This is the story through Christian Dawkins' prism. There's nothing wrong or inaccurate about that, but it's just one view of this story. And so I thought it was pretty interesting, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's the complete tale of how this whole thing went down. It's just, he was a central figure, no question. He was kind of the one that tied everyone together, but it's the Christian Dawkins, everything's told through the perspective of Christian Dawkins.
No question about it. And it seems like, one, he's got a hard time admitting when he's wrong. In fact, I don't know if he ever admits when he's wrong. And two, his defense is, and I've used the example, Dan, on the show many times, is the speed limit is 55. I think that's bogus. So that area should be 70. So I'm going to go 70 because I don't believe that speed limit is correct. They've got it wrong. The true speed limit should be 70, so when I get pulled over, I'm just going to tell them, well, this law is a bad law, and I was going 70 because I believe this should be 70. Well, that's great, and you may be right. Maybe it should be higher, but, it's not going to work. You're still going to get a ticket. You're still going to have to pay money, and that's kind of his defense, right? Like, the system's broken. It's wrong. These athletes should be treated differently. They deserve to get money, so therefore, I'm just here to help them. I'm Robin Hood.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And so, obviously, he knew he was violating NCAA rules and other, they tried to keep their tracks covered. I think the difference was he had no idea at any point that this would ever rise to a federal offense where he's now facing, 18 months in prison. And I think that's a somewhat fair thing. It seems, and it continues to seem like this is really like a prosecution in search of a crime and in search of criminals. I mean, essentially Christian Dawkins is going to prison because he gave people money. He didn't steal the money. He just gave them the money.
Yeah.
And some people didn't think so. That's a heck of a thing to go to prison for. especially when the guy that started it all and turned you in and started the undercover, actually stole money from people. Marty Blazer's the financial planner who stole over $2 million. And when he gets nailed, he says, wait, I'll give you these guys in college basketball. And he ends up serving up Dawkins and these other guys who gave people money. So, that part I get. Like, you think, all right, look, if NCAA catches this, I'm busted. If the if the player, you know, the NBA Players Association will sanction me, the NBA might. There's a lot of things that could that you go. You just don't think, gosh, wait a minute, the FBI is tapping my phone. So there's a little bit there. But, yes, he is a full believer that this is garbage. And I shouldn't, you know, when they change, eventually they're going to change this and it won't even be an offense. I think he has a point there. I mean, it doesn't, I don't know why we wasted all this time and money on this thing. they talked a big game. You know, the FBI, I remember their initial press conference, you know, we have your playbook and coaches, if you're involved in any of this, call us now. You know, don't have us come call you. And this is an ongoing investigation and we're going to try to blow the lid off of everything. And 2.5 years later, you're like, nothing changed. Other than Patino, who got fired, I think, really, for a Lifetime Achievement Award. You know, everyone's got their job except for, you know, a few assistant coaches that, you know, are relatively anonymous and, you know, low-level, you know, a 20-something would-be agent. And, you know, nothing happened. So, you know, it's like even the FBI at some point and the federal prosecutors were just like, yeah, this is garbage. We're just going to close this up. We're not even going to try to keep going.
Good points. So why do you think that is, Dan? We've been trained over the years for good reason. I mean, statistics back it up. When the FBI comes a knocking, you're in trouble. They've got the goods and you're going down. They rarely miss. And this sitting here today in early April, April 7th in 2020, it looks like this is a defeat. They lost. They didn't get, you know, they didn't have exactly, it didn't play out the way we all thought it would play out. So why?
It didn't play out the way they said it was going to play out, which is really the thing. And to go back, like, people are like, well, it's got overhyped. It's like, well, look, if the FBI and the Southern District of New York, I mean, these are the best prosecutors in the country. These are the ones that do the Ponzi schemes. These are the ones that do the insider trading. They do the terrorism cases. This is the biggest, best top place. Those two people say they're going to uncover stuff. This isn't some, you know, NCAA investigator, you know, walking around with a clipboard. This is the serious thing, and so they didn't get it done. Statistically, they did, and I think that's at some point was all they cared about. They got 10 convictions or a plea deal, so they got 10 convictions, 10 out of 10. But by no means did they change anything on this. I think they found that it's harder to pin down the it's barely a crime. I mean, look, they figured out a way to make this a crime, but it's really tight, and it you know, the cases are under appeal, and who knows if they survive. And if you don't have them dead to rights on this, you're just not going to get that conviction. So I think they figured out along the way that this isn't it. I don't know. They backed off and didn't go full boat on it. Because what they were talking about early, you know, you're like, boy, there's going to be some head coaches nailed on this. At least there's going to be a bunch of head coaches fired. And instead, you know, even the wiretaps of, like, Will Wade that are in the – some of them are in the movie, and there's more, Sean Miller and Will Wade, they buried those and didn't even bring them out during the trial, which would have, you know, potentially cost – you know, shed more light on this. The feds were trying to keep all that stuff – tampered down. So even the most impactful stuff was kind of buried. It's just a really weird case. It was weird from the start. You go, why are these guys involved? And at the end you go, yeah, I was always wondering why you guys are involved.
Dan Wetzel is with us, Yahoo Sports columnist, and he was a big part of the documentary The Scheme that is being shown on HBO right now. And Dan, you know, I admit I've evolved on this because I played at Vanderbilt. I felt like at the time, I think a lot of my teammates did as well, that, you know, we weren't going to the lengths that a lot of programs that we were competing against were going to get players, secure players, all of those things. You hear things. We couldn't prove anything, of course, but there seems to be a sentiment, and I think you point this out, this type of thing in some form has been going on for decades, right? As long as there's been college football and college basketball, somebody's been playing this game in some form. And so I'm wondering, in the FBI's investigation, was there some feeling that they got that, hey, you know what, the public really, this is how, they don't want it changed. They don't want the whole system turned upside down. They're okay with the way this goes on, so let's turn our attention somewhere else. Do you think that factored in at all?
You know, I don't know, but probably. I think they thought this was going to be a big spectacular splash. I mean, they held this big press conference, and then the reviews of it were sort of like, wait, what? And then I think you get into it, and it's like, this is just going to be whack-a-mole, right? Not every school is paying players. Not every player is getting paid. But if you start really uncovering it, particularly nowadays, like if you're a top 100 player, you have the opportunity to get paid. I mean, you just do. I think maybe the most interesting part of this whole thing to me was Brian Bowen Jr., right? The top 30 player, maybe he was ranked 30th best player in the country from Saginaw. Now, that's a good basketball player. That's a good recruit. But that's not Zion Williamson, okay? That's a good recruit, really good. And after his sophomore year of high school, Adidas paid him $20,000 to pay AAU ball for him for the summer. And we might all go, that's absolutely insane. Why would anyone pay $20,000 for a kid to play summer basketball? Well, you are what you're worth in this country. You are what you get paid. You're worth what you get paid. And we have a free markets, and we have capitalism, and Adidas is a smart company, and they sell tons of shoes, and they say, this kid is worth $20,000. Then by the time he's a senior, they say, you're worth $100,000 to go to Louisville because we already have a deal with Louisville. We're protecting the millions we pay to sponsor them, and we want to help Louisville get to the Final Four so we can recoup more of that. And by doing that, we give Rick Pitino a good player. And so in real terms, we understand what the value is of that player. And so the NCAA says you're not worth anything more than tuition, room, and board and a small stipend when you're a college player. But what we know based on this is actually the 30th best basketball recruit, who no one's ever heard of really, other than the recruiting Knicks, is worth $20,000 as a sophomore and $100,000 as a senior. And that's the market. And so I thought that was really maybe the most interesting part. You get into that and you go, well, why are we defending somebody saying you're not worth anything when clearly you are worth something?
It sounded like to me, and you made a pretty good case during the documentary, Dan, and I've read a lot of what you've said about this, and it seems like you kind of push for a little bit of the Jay Billis, where you should be able to just get what you're worth, right? I mean, why should it be undercover and against the rules? So do you think it would be more fair for the system if they went that direction, which has been talked about now quite a bit? I think it's more realistic now than it was maybe 20 years ago that this could happen.
I think it's more fair, I don't know, but fair, yeah. I mean, if you're worth it, you're worth it, right? Why would we deny a multi-billion-dollar corporation paying some kid from Saginaw whose dad's a police officer on disability? $20,000 is a lot of money. First off, it's just admitting the obvious. This is happening. But I think it's fine. I would not have colleges pay players. I would do exactly what the Olympics does and allow the athletes to profit. USA Gymnastics does not pay Simone Biles, but Simone Biles makes millions and millions of dollars endorsing product, giving speeches, whatever the heck Simone Biles does. Is anyone against Simone Biles making money? Of course not. She should make every penny she could get. Michael Phelps, same thing. And if you can make it, make it. I don't think in terms of competitive balance this would actually screw anything up. I think it actually would level the playing field. Everyone says, well, Alabama will get every football recruit. Alabama already gets every football recruit. Okay? Think about somebody like, do you want to be the third quarterback at Alabama, or do you want to be the starting quarterback for 3 or 4 years at Boise State? Because they got car dealers in Boise, and they got businesses in Boise, and someone says, hey, we're going to put you on the face of, you're going to be, you know, Boise Ford dealers, endorsement guy, and there's chances to make money. I think you actually level the playing field, because right now the playing field is tilted based on conference affiliation and how much you can build up your facilities. All the money that's going in gets to the players through these just backwards way, like, look how sweet our locker room is, or look how nice our weight room is, opposed to direct payments. And places like a Boise State or in some ways even a Vanderbilt can't compete. But if you open up the marketplace, they can compete, because I actually think you'd make more money being a star in Nashville than you would in Tuscaloosa, possibly. So there's just a lot of opportunities. It would change things, but I don't necessarily look and say, oh, the same five schools will get all the players. They already get all the players.
Well, let me ask you, let's ask it this way, because they did not get the coaches, right? That's part of the theme of the documentary. So what responsibility should a coach have? There are a lot of people that say, hey, what's the big deal? I'm okay with Sean Miller and Will Wade doing these things, because that's what you have to do to win. If you don't do that, you're going to get fired. That's how a lot of coaches justify it. But it's almost like the steroid thing in baseball several years ago, where a player is like, well, I don't want to cheat. I don't want to do it, but I got to keep up or I'm going to lose my job. So what should coaches do, right, who want to do it the right way?
I mean, it's a tough one, and I get the idea. I also think, as much as I think we'll go back to the original thing with the speed limit, right? As much as I think this is how it should be, these are the rules. And the system has these rules, and it makes the coaches a tremendous amount of money. Because these schools are nonprofit, they don't pay taxes, they're taking every bit of all the dollars coming in, and they're paying them with their coaches, right? Does Louisville get $168 million or whatever their number was, $100-something million endorsement deal with Adidas, if Adidas can pay high school players directly? Does Duke get that money if Nike can't sit, if Nike can just go and say, hey, Zion Williamson, we just signed you to a $20 million deal and you're 16 years old. No. And so these guys are profiting off a system, and you agree as you take that job to rules. There are rules in most businesses and a lot of industries that aren't against the law, and you have to follow those rules. And so I don't have that much sympathy for a coach who's violating the rules of his employment. He signs a contract. I agree to follow these rules. So it's a little bit, yeah, should you go 70, not 55? You know, yeah, I probably would agree with that. I like going 70. But, you know, if you get caught, you're going to get tagged.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports.
Don't tell. No police officers. I'm not in Tennessee, so, you know, don't tell anybody.
Dan, shifting gears a little bit, because I read your column and I didn't know, I don't know if you are a wrestling fan or if you were just watching, but I read your column on WrestleMania and your thoughts on that. I agree with what you were saying, that it was definitely weird not having fans. The matches, for the most part, were pretty good. I watched both nights because I am a fan and it was something to do, but your overall takeaways from the event that WWE had at their Performance Center?
Yeah, I thought they tried as best they could. I mean, I thought these are weird times. So, I thought they did really, I thought they tried really hard, and it's odd. Fans are part of the character, are a character in wrestling. It's funny because it's the one character you can't script. The fans can react, whatever, but lacking that energy, lacking the screens, the oohs, the ahs, the signs, the whole thing, the entrances that normally are just, you know, over the top that get you fired up for something, just wasn't there. But I thought, you know what? I enjoyed both nights. It was something. It was some entertainment. We watched the family, you know, most of it. And, you know, I thought they did a good job. But, you know, you think about McIntyre beating Lesnar at the end for the WWE title. That's going to be, you know, if that's in Tampa's football stadium or whatever, Raymond James, it's going to be absolutely bananas in there. Instead, it's like, it's just like silence. It's so weird. So, but I credit the WWE for giving it the best shot. Hopefully they were able to do it healthy and safely for everybody. But better than nothing, but I don't think anyone's going to look back and go, wow, that was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. But kudos to them for trying. I can't say there's an easy way to do a better job on that.
Did you like the outside-the-box stuff with the Funhouse match and the Boneyard match with Undertaker?
I didn't. I did not like those. I know some people did. I'm not a big enough fan for the Funhouse one. I think really hardcore fans love that. I'm not that guy, so I didn't like those. I thought they did a good job, you know, with the Edge fight where they were in the back, like it kind of opened up an ability to have fights in weight rooms and on top of a truck. And I mean, you know, that was kind of good, but I didn't like it, but I get some people did.
Dan, really good stuff. We appreciate you joining us. And the next time you are in Tennessee, do not use that defense that I said, yeah, because it won't work. Yeah. I'm just here to tell you. At least that's what I've been told.
Works for Will Wade.
Well, so far it has. By the way, let's end with that. Dick Vitale last week, who, you know, has – the way we look at him this show is he's always been nothing but a cheerleader for the sport. Rarely does he come out and say things, you know, that get your attention when it comes to bad or negative. And he said that his tweet was, sources are telling him that Arizona and LSU, bad things are coming. What did you make of that?
Well, the NCAA is investigating both of those, and they will take those tapes and use them. I mean, clearly, they didn't originally. So, and for a school to stand by those coaches, you take a risk of saying, why did you stand by them? I mean, you know, LSU's got, I don't know what explanation they have on the Will Wade stuff, but I'm dying. You know, I don't know how anyone with a straight face could be like, no, he's not talking about paying players there. So I think you will get hit harder by the NCAA if you fight and don't self-monitor. And I think that the perception amongst the NCAA enforcement process, I think, would be like, how have you not fired Will Wade for this? How have you not disciplined him? Why did you give him his job back? Yeah. All of that. We'll see. But I certainly, you know, Sean Miller, they haven't renewed his contract. On a rollover, he's down to 2 years to go. That's pretty telling. A school like Arizona walking into a season, potentially walking into a season with a coach with just 2 years left, that kind of tells you what they're, you know, he better win big and somehow avoid this, or they're just sort of setting it up so they get rid of him for the least amount of money possible.
Yeah, the exit plan. Dan, really good stuff. Appreciate the visit. Be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that is Dan Wetzel with Yahoo Sports. He was a big part of the scheme, the HBO documentary. He was basically the media person that had a big portion in this whole thing. And as he talked about, it's really the Christian Dawkins story. If you watch it, you're only really getting his perspective, and, of course, his family is involved in it too. But his attorney is good. Dan does a really good job. You do get a little bit of insight from others, but it is a good point as we sit here, and I know we talked about this, but how in the world Will Wade and Sean Miller still have jobs today is just mind-blowing when you listen to those tapes. I mean, we've all seen it. We've all seen the quotes, but we always say the video changes everything. It's one thing to read quotes. It's another thing to actually sit there and watch and listen to the wiretaps, so the actual conversation with Dawkins, with Wade, and Dawkins with Miller. And it's like, you don't need much of a brain. You don't need a Vanderbilt degree to figure out what they're talking about. Trust me on that. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.